Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, the podcast host from the show The Second 53 Years, she's coming at us from Southwest Florida, Mickey Zeta. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Mickey, I start my shows off with a quote that I feel represents you and your journey. So I would like to read this to you. It's by Emily Dickinson. And it says, "The soul should always stand ajar, ready to welcome the ecstatic experience." Now, I know that you can relate to this.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a fabulous quote that you've selected, Lynette, and it does work for me perfectly. I live my life as an open door. I focused really on paying attention to guidance and moving in directions that I never thought that I was ever going to encounter. So it's life is such a fun journey. And that's one of the things I always say. Life is an amazing journey. And it, when you're open, when you keep your heart and your mind open to opportunities, you just never know where you're going to end up.
Can you tell our listeners, what is your passion and how did it begin?
My passion is to inspire others to experience joy and abundance. And how it began, really, it's always been a part of my life. I was blessed with fabulous parents. They always saw the glass half full, and they taught all of us children. I'm the oldest of nine children. They taught all of us to look at life as the glass half full. There's always an upside to every situation. So my passion was pretty much born in me with my birth, and I've managed throughout my life. I've had a lot of ups and downs like everybody else, but I always have managed to land on my feet. And that's really my passion, is encouraging other people to do the same.
Can you give us a picture of how you do that?
Sure. Well, it's pretty much how I live. I believe that we are senders and receivers of energy, and that we operate pretty well as little antennas. So we send and receive. And I think one way that I'm able to encourage other people to be more positive and to look for the positive things is to live my life that way. So even at work, at all the businesses I've owned, I've changed employees' attitudes by being me. So that's all I can say. I always look for what's best in a situation. My rules with employees, I've pretty much always been self-employed. My employees know not to come to me just with a problem, to bring a solution.
I'm sure over time you've had some challenges with this, whether it's how other people interacted with you, or maybe if you've had any disappointments with this. I am a firm believer that energy attracts like energy. You and I completely agree on this, but have you had any challenges with that philosophy along the way?
Of course. I've been accused of being Pollyanna. I've been accused of wearing rose-colored glasses. And some people just aren't willing to make a change. Some people aren't willing to look at the glass half full, and that's okay. I accept people where they are. They just probably aren't going to last very long as my employees or my friends, because I think it's important that we surround ourselves with people who understand how life works. I understand that other people look at life as not being that happy or that good, but that's not who I am, and that's not who I attract. So as far as dealing with, I've had coaching clients that just were stuck. They just were not willing to look at the reality of their situation and that they had the opportunity to make a change. Some people like being the victim. And I was a victim. You kind of know my story a little bit, Lynette, but I lived my life quite a bit as a victim for a number of years. And I had a life coach who said, "Mickey, what is your payoff for being a victim?"
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Well, lots of times people use that victim energy for different reasons. I mean, a positive would be if you play the victim, you can get other people to do things for you.
But yeah, there are a lot of reasons people do it. It was not how I chose to live my life. And I encourage people not to live their lives that way. It's not a fun way to be.
You know what I really love about what you just said is just the fact that you went to this coach who raised your consciousness, because mm-hmm. a lot of people reside in, let's say, victim or conflict energy, but they don't even know that they are. So they don't know how to change.
I think that's the beauty of coaching, Lynette. I think the beauty of coaching is that coaches are able to see things in their clients that they're not able to see themselves. And I was a pretty open person. I've always been optimistic. I didn't realize that I was accepting the role of victim. I didn't realize that, and my coach did. She pointed it out. And then it's my choice. Then I have a choice to say, you know, you're full of it, and I'm perfectly fine. I say in my introduction podcast, in my podcast, but also I tell a lot of other people, I had an imaginary sign in my front yard that said, "Everything is wonderful." And I believed what that sign said, but in truth, in my heart and in my head and inside my life, everything wasn't wonderful. So there was a reality there that I was choosing to ignore. We create our own realities, and that's what I had done. But since facing that and saying, oh my gosh, you know what? She's right. I am playing the role of victim, and that's not a fun place to be. And that's really, I was 53 at that point. And that's when my life really began to change.
Which is exactly what I want you to tell listeners about next, what you are doing and what it has to do with the number 53.
I have a new podcast. It's called The Second 53 Years. And it's based, it says 53 because I was 53, as I said, when I began to change my life, when I began to take full responsibility for my reality and the way that I live my life. And so now I say I intend to live to be 106. My first 53 years were for everybody else, and these 53 are mine.
That's great. That's great. And what, first of all, 106 is completely achievable in this day and age.
It is. It absolutely is.
And the second thing I wanted to say was, can you tell everybody what your podcast is about? Because I find it really interesting.
My podcast is really geared toward women over 50. And what my mission for the podcast is to help women move from where they are to who they are. And that's so important because many of us are living our lives, especially in our 50s and on, we're at the point of either retiring or thinking about retiring. And let me back up. My avatar is pretty much me. I've had a very successful life. I've owned businesses. I was co-owner of golf courses with my former husband. Even when we got divorced about 12 years ago, I have continued on an entrepreneurial path mostly. I am employed now, which I'm enjoying. It's a terrific job. And that came to me by divine intervention. So I think the beauty of the podcast is my guests are women who have made major changes in their lives after 50. So one woman, actually on one of my podcasts, my original podcasts that I just released, one woman is an author now, and she wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul books for teachers. So the story about how she did that is remarkable. One of her teachers actually told her, you have the artistic ability of a cow. So until she retired, she didn't even attempt art because she believed what that teacher said. And that's what my show's about. It's about letting go of those harmful beliefs. We tell ourselves horrible stories about who we are based on other people's opinions.
Right. It's all about discovering your who. Who are
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
Who were you before everybody else told you who you are?
Exactly. A lot of times I'll take clients back to their favorite year. What was your favorite year growing up? And mine was 16. I absolutely loved being 16. I enjoyed the high school I went to. And so at 53 and 54 and 55, I decided I was going to rediscover who that 15 and 16 year old girl was and excavate her. She's still in there. Bring her out. And it's been a terrific journey for me. It's becoming me. When I first got divorced, my son said, Mom, I'm really kind of worried about you. You know, you've changed churches, you've changed friends. I actually changed my name. Zeta is my last name, and I chose that. It's not a family name. It's a name I chose. And he said, Mom, are you on a, do you have a midlife crisis going on? Are you okay? He was in his early 30s at that point. And I said, you know what, Ryan, it's not that I'm having a midlife crisis. It's that you don't know who I am. You knew me as your dad's wife. You knew me as your mom. But that isn't me. That isn't who I am. And now I'm becoming me again.
Right.
And he was with that. We are very close. And he's real excited about who I am now.
That's pretty exciting. So what would you say was the defining moment, especially with this podcast that you started? Because my podcast is in its inception, and I feel like you and I are kind of coming up through these trenches together. So I know what it takes to put yourself out there. And I definitely know the reaction I'm getting from friends and family that just think, wow, that's really a brave thing to do. So at what point in this process did you feel like, you know what, I'm in the right direction?
Well, again, I live my life by guidance, and I don't believe in coincidences. So a good friend of mine started sending me some information about podcasting. I knew there was something more I wanted to do. I'm a certified life coach, but I haven't been coaching for a number of years. Just all of a sudden, this podcast information started showing up everywhere. Everywhere I turned, I heard about podcasts. I had never heard a podcast until 5 months ago, probably. So when those things happen, I pay attention and say, all right, Mickey, there's something here for you. So I started moving in that direction. I call them baby steps. Nobody goes from 1 to 10 in one giant leap. You have to go through every single number, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to get to 10. So I started on 1 and began to gather some information about what podcasting is. And then one thing led to another. And for me, I am not technically... I'm very techno-challenged. So my greatest obstacle in creating the podcast was not finding guests or being leery about speaking. My greatest challenge was the technology side. And what I realized was I learned what I could, and then I began to pay people to help me. And that, for me, I'm a type A. I want my fingers in everything. I want to be in charge of everything. But I realized that I can't do that with podcasting. So I've hired help from the auditing side and editing side and getting it out through Libsyn and those kinds of things. It's not something I'm good at. So I turned it over. And that, for me, is a huge step. People do say, oh, my gosh, Mickey, you're off to something else. This is so cool. Some people say, well, you can't monetize podcasting, but you can, and I will. And you will too, Lynette.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope so, because I think that you and I are both in this with the greatest of intentions, you know, to do something that's really meaningful to other people.
Absolutely.
And one surprising thing I found out is I feel that while my goal is always that my listeners get something out of it, I've been very surprised to see that my guests seem to be very motivated just because they're asked to be on the show and it's helping them to push whatever they're doing to the next level, which I find to be really a secondary surprise, which has been great.
Well, you've got a terrific name, Motivate Me. I think that's a great name for your podcast. And that's what so many women are looking for. Dalai Lama said, American women are going to change the world. And I believe that wholeheartedly. We're finally coming into our own. You know, I'm a child of the 60s and women's lib and that kind of stuff. And I never really got that much into it. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that women do really, and I think a lot of other women in my age group are realizing, we really do have a lot of power. And a bunch of that has been stifled as we raise families, as we build marriages and build our careers. But now at 50 plus, we're at a point in our lives where we can be ourselves, where we can say, all right, you know what? We've taken care of our families. Our kids are grown. They're off. They're doing well. Our marriages are strong, or they're ending. The highest divorce rate right now is couples over 50. And for the most part, women are initiating the divorce. And I think that's sad. I was married 34 years. And my only real regret is that I will never have a 50th anniversary.
Well, I think what's happening is, like you said, women are becoming very powerful. And by the time the kids are done and raised, they're done tolerating.
Mm-hmm. It's time to live our own life. And that's not bad. That's not a bad thing. It sounds like a bad thing, but it's not.
Well, it's only a bad thing if you feel threatened by it.
Exactly. And people don't like us to change. People like us to be, it's like my son said to me, what's going on? Why are you changing so much? People like us to be who we were. They like us to be the enablers and make sure the house is clean and make sure everybody's got what they need and all the lunches are made and everybody's happy. But we're finally at the point in our 50s and older that it's time to take care of ourselves.
I would like to say I'm not in my 50s. I'm in my 40s. But I think the key is just having responsibilities within the home that have us multitasking in many directions and taking time and energy away from other things we may be able to explore further on our own. Mm-hmm. I only have one child and she's been out of the house for a long time. So that's probably why when I listen to your podcast, I get a lot out of it. But there's many people without children, period. It doesn't matter how old they are. I find what the women on your podcast are saying to be very empowering.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. Thank you for that. That's true.
You know, at any age. So and somebody I just interviewed recently has four kids at home, but she's got three novels coming out.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
So, you know, it's all about putting that focus on yourself, mm-hmm, and saying, mm-hmm, that, yes, I am all of these things, including, mm-hmm, a writer or a podcaster or whatever it is, a painter, whatever you want to explore.
Yep. And I'm a pretty cool person.
And I'm a pretty damn cool person. So, Mickey, what did you find out about yourself during this process?
I found out that I'm a cool person.
I found out that you are, too. So that's so weird. We have this in common.
I was very successful in business, but I deferred a lot of my power and my expertise to my ex-husband. He's one of the most brilliant business people I've ever met in my life. And I felt that he had so much more going for him than I had. So I played small. I played so small for so many years. And what I've discovered is there's no need for me to do that, that I have a lot to offer on my own in business and in personal and inspiring other people, men and women, to live their lives. So that's what I discovered about me, that I really do have a lot to offer and that it's a good thing.
Yes. And, you know, you were talking about nothing being a coincidence. You and I really, we have a lot of the same philosophies. And I think synchronicity, so often we're given these signs and we're in sync with who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. But lots of times we're distracted by what we need to be doing for everybody else or what we think the social norm is for us to do, that we're battling against who we're supposed to be and who we think we're supposed to be.
You're exactly right. I agree wholeheartedly. And we also battle fear. Fear is what holds us back every single time. Procrastination is nothing but fear. And I did, and the imposter syndrome, it's nothing but fear. Who am I to do a podcast? Who am I to think I have something to offer women that will change their lives? You know,
I thought the same thing when I started to go to school to be a certified coach. I thought the same thing there that I feel right now, but I've done other things in my life that were similar. So the one benefit of what I'm doing right now, because I made the biggest decision of my life to decide to resign from teaching and put everything I have into this because I believe in it so much. But the beauty of it is that because I have done things similar to this and have felt what I call the waves of confidence, you know, you peak with this confidence and then you dip down with your doubt. I'm so used to that feeling now. It doesn't feel less fearful, but I know it will pass.
Exactly. I read somewhere that firefighters, no matter how many years they've been firefighters, when they're headed to that fire, there's a lot of fear. But once they step through that door, once they step into the fire, that's all gone and they're doing their job. I've come a lot to that point, and it sounds like you have too. I know many, many women listening have also. And just know that it's there. Just know I always feel a little bit of fear, and I think that's normal. Without it, there wouldn't be an edge, and life would be less exciting. But know that you can walk through that. And there's a woman, and I do not remember her name, but she does a whole class on, it's called Red Means Go. So when you feel that red light, don't stop. Walk on through it. Just drive right through it. It's an important key to those of us who do take the steps. I call it sometimes jumping off a cliff. I know I can jump off a cliff. I'm either going to fly or I'm going to land safely. Either way, I'm all right. You just have to take that step. And sometimes things I jump into don't work. And that's all right. I learn something from it and I try something else.
And I think if we were to look at this topic through the male perspective, you know, they have a societal responsibility, financial responsibility, the expectations of what they should be doing for their jobs and treatment of the wife, treatment of their children. I mean, you know, I think it's hard too, because my husband's amazing. He is an amazing man. he's so supportive and he's such a hard worker. Mm-hmm. But I know that if he had his choice, he would fly like I did. He won't yet. But he's so supportive of me with the hopes that, you know, soon he'll be able to at some point. You know,
that's terrific.
I mean, for all of us, you know, men and women, and that's why I love what I'm doing here so much, because I just want my listeners to wake up every day excited for their life. Whatever it is that they have planned today, that's why I say incorporate some kind of passion into your life and then be excited to wake up to go do it. And whatever that means for you, you know, it could be waking up to write for 30 minutes in the morning, or to come home and draw a picture that you're going to later paint. I mean, taking pictures, blogging.
Whatever it is, whatever it is, just do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can you tell me? What do you think the best? I know we're sitting here and actually I'm really enjoying our exchange, and hopefully my listeners are getting something out of what we're talking about and how they can apply it to their lives. But what kind of advice have you received along the way that you think was beneficial for you?
Oh, that is a great question. Probably the best advice I've gotten is, well, it's been since I've made my major life change, you know, at 53. And that is, don't ever lose yourself again. That's the best advice I've ever had. And sometimes I'll find myself kind of feeling like I'm melting back into what other people want me to do or want me to be or how they want to see me. And remembering, don't ever lose yourself again. Then it's like pull myself by the bootstraps, get back up there and be me, because I'm the only person I can be. So don't try to melt away.
And you know, what's really great about that is the whole thing about that is that lots of times in my interviews, we have a specific goal that we're trying to help people achieve. So if you want to become a chef, if you want to do this, if you want to be a pilot, like how can you do this for yourself? But really what you and I are talking about today is just basically how can you regain your self-worth and courage to enjoy your life, to be
absolutely
to be who you know you always were.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things I did, I called it putting myself in the repair shop. When I got divorced, as I said, I'd been married 34 years. And at the end of that, I had a great life. Let me just rephrase this. I had a great life. So it wasn't that everything was horrible. It wasn't. It's just that it wasn't my life. I wasn't living my life. So when I began to do that, turned out to be a 5-year, I call it a journey. It wasn't really a plan, but it was, I called it being in the repair shop. I had so many things I wanted to learn about who I was. So for 1 year, and I recommend this to anybody, now maybe not like I did it, but for 1 year, every week I did something new that I had never, ever done before. And 52 new things is a lot of things. So since then, I've recommended to my coaching clients and to my friends who are in a transitional point of their life to do something new, maybe once a month. 12 new things is more manageable, but 52 new things is what I did. One new thing every week.
Tell us some of the things you did.
I took fly fishing lessons, which I had never done. I did the highest sky swing in Kissimmee, Florida. I'm afraid of heights. So I went on the sky swing and dropped like the length of a football field. And then we swung. I did it with my daughter-in-law and my best friend. I ended up with a tattoo on my hip.
I love it.
And I'm not really a tattoo person, but, and it happens to be a hummingbird, and the hummingbird is the symbol for my podcast. So I thought that was pretty appropriate.
I could tell you something that you would find very funny about my podcast art as well. That's symbolic of a tattoo I have somewhere.
Oh, there you go. I cut my hair off, wore it short. I changed the color of my hair. You know, just sometimes it was dramatic things. Like one week it was just wearing toe rings. I'd never worn a toe ring. So I thought, well, cool, I can do that. It was stretching me and finding out what's really important to me. What do I like? What's important?
I have an idea for you and I'm going to put it right here on air.
Okay.
I am a writer. Okay. So what I'm going to say to you is I just saw a really great correlation between the 52 new things you did and the 53rd one being your podcast and a nonfiction book that you should write. I think there are no coincidences, and that's why you and I are talking today.
I love it. That's a great idea.
I know I would read it. I think it sounds great. I think a lot of people would be motivated by it. I think a lot of people, the thing is, they don't know what to do. So you just rattled off a few really fun things, like wear toe rings for a week. Go for lessons for something you've never done.
Thong underwear. I did thong underwear. Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know if I should say that on the air, but
why not?
Why not?
I think it's great. And I think that you should think about really writing down those 52 things you did and making your podcast a 53rd.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. You'll get the first copy.
Okay. Awesome. I would like it signed.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of books, is there one that you could recommend to my listeners that you felt was meaningful to you along the way?
You know, my most favorite book of all times, and I'm big time into reading motivational. I very rarely read things that aren't something that I'm learning from. But Earl Nightingale, I don't know when, probably back in the 50s or 60s, I think it was the 60s, wrote a book called The Strangest Secret. It's a tiny little book. And if your readers have never listened to it, actually, you can go on YouTube and Google Earl Nightingale's The Strangest Secret, and you can listen to the talk that he gave, which eventually became a book. And The Strangest Secret really is everything in your life begins in your thoughts. It's a little book you can read in 1 hour, and I highly, highly recommend it, because what we think about is what we bring about. It's that sounds trite, but it's true. If we're focusing, what we focus on is what will manifest. So we're focusing on fear. We're focusing on things are not going to work. Likely, they're not going to work. I had somebody as an example. I was talking about Earl Nightingale's book to a gentleman, and he said, well, you know, Mickey, you can take that even further. If you want a new car, take really good care of the car you got. And imagine that you're driving your new car and it's going to show up. Your new car is going to show up. And I don't know how and I don't know where, but it works. What you think about is what will become true. And that's what Earl Nightingale's book is about.
You will see when you listen to episodes of this podcast that I talk about from the very beginning in episode 000. I talk about Dr. Wayne Dyer and how he believes that thoughts are everything. And
yep.
And also how you map your brain.
Absolutely.
And subconsciously, you are working towards those things. So I'm a huge believer in all of that. Absolutely. Now, what about any internet or more contemporary-like resources? And don't forget, listeners, I will put on my show notes, motivatemepodcast.com. I will have the show notes and any resources that Mickey mentions. I'll make sure to include links there for you.
Well, as far as resources go, I'm really, as I said, I'm relatively techno-challenged. I'm very much into groups on Facebook, which I like, groups, private groups where I can learn more, have other people help me learn. But my favorite, Google, just fascinates me. There is nothing you can't find quickly in Google.
Okay, so this is the part of the show, Mickey, where we speed things up a little bit. It's called the Motivate Me Express to Success. So three quick questions, the most important questions. It's everything this podcast is about, which is envision, explore, execute. So how can people envision what you've been preaching today?
I'm a big fan of motivation and I'm a big fan of meditation. So how they can envision what I've talked about today is to sit. Whether you actually meditate or not doesn't matter. Just sit down for 5 minutes in the morning and try to slow your mind down and see what shows up. It's a terrific way to envision where you want to be. Your subconscious knows where you want to be. So let it speak up. Give it some quiet, just 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, so explore. How can they explore this for themselves?
Google.
What would they look for first?
Well, you know, everybody has something that they've always wanted to do that they haven't brought it even maybe into their consciousness. When I work with some already retired people, I say there's something that you have thought about doing all your life, and maybe you've been married 30, 40 years, and you've never mentioned it to your spouse even because it's buried so deep, but everybody has that. So listen, just listen and let that come up. Sometimes I say, don't judge what's coming out of your mouth. So just say out loud, what I've always wanted to do is, and then it's going to come.
So you're saying explore within.
Explore within.
See, you thought it was Google. Okay, so then the last step would be to execute. And you and I also agree, I'm a big believer in baby steps. I say baby steps all the time, just move in a direction. So what would you say?
That would be a baby step. Let's say that you say in the previous question, what I've always wanted to do is play the piano. All right. So what's a baby step? What's an action step you can take? Well, maybe it's just simply Google people who teach piano to adults. Or maybe you have a friend who's a pianist and you say, hey, who would you recommend for a teacher? That doesn't mean you have to sign up with that teacher. That's just a baby step. So then the next step might be, when do these people teach? Do they teach in a group? Do they teach individually? So just keep taking the baby steps. And pretty soon you've gone from 1 to 10 and you're taking piano lessons.
You know what, though? I think, yes, that's all. I agree with everything. But you know what? For what you've been saying today as you're talking, and I'm pretending I'm an audience member, when I think about how to execute what you've been saying today, I really think the biggest thing for listeners would be to get a role model. Get a mentor who's living the way you want to live.
That's good advice. And you know what else? Get a coach. Get a coach. Coaching is such a good way to get to where you want to be, because a coach is only going to help you see where you want to be. A coach does not tell you where you're going. That's your job. A coach helps you figure out how to get there. So
absolutely. And I think, you know, you have to make plans for yourselves, but sometimes you have people from the outside who can see things that you're not seeing because you're so in it. You're so close
exactly.
to it.
Exactly. Exactly. Like my coach said, why are you a victim? I was living all my life not realizing I was a victim. So it's important. It's very important.
Right. Okay. So if we believe that life is a process and we can map our brains to accomplish anything, where is Mickey in 5 years?
Actually, I'm doing the podcast. I have a 5-year plan, interestingly. And my 5-year plan is to replace the income that I'm earning now. I work as a general manager at a golf club here in Southwest Florida. Golf has been my industry since I was since college, and I love it. I love the industry, but I previous to this job, I've always been self-employed. So now I have a job and I love it. Love working for this club. It's terrific. And my 5-year plan is to replace the income that I have, and then I have options. I can continue to work or I can choose to retire. So 5 years, I'm either going to be continuing to work and investing my podcast money, or I'm going to retire because I've replaced my income and that's what I choose to do. So I see myself with a lot more choices in 5 more years. I see my podcast being extremely successful and providing the lifestyle that I'm wanting to live.
That's great. So what closing advice would you give listeners?
My closing advice is make sure you're living your own life. We're all so influenced by teachers and by parents and by older siblings or relatives, good friends. Just know who you are and stick with that, because there's nobody who's going to be a better you than you are. And you have so much to offer. Everyone has so much to offer. Find your gifts and give them away.
Excellent advice. How about some contact information? How would you like people to get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me through my website, which is thesecond53years.com. I don't mind giving my cell phone number. That's 417-294-0238. And you can contact me by email at mickey@thesecond53years.com.
Now, Mickey, you're also going to be a part of our Ultimate Support System Facebook page. So we'll have you a part of that.
And awesome.
What listeners probably don't know is that you and I actually met in a forum.
That's right.
Online. This is the first time we were ever speaking. We've chatted briefly online about little things, but just seeing what you're doing, I knew that you would be an excellent guest for our listeners to meet.
Well, I appreciate that. And I've so enjoyed this. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lynette. I'm so glad we met.
Me too.
Good luck with your podcast. I know it's going to be a great success.
Thank you so much. Okay, so it's time for today's go-do. Now, Mickey made a lot of really great points today, but my favorite, the one I really was drawn to, was when she talked about not losing herself. So for a lot of us, we need to go back and discover our who. Who were we before everybody told us who we should be? Now, you can do this privately in a journal, or you can put it right out there on Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page for everybody to see and comment on. I'm sure you are not alone. So many of us have lost our who's. Okay, so I look forward to your discovery, and I look forward to talking to you about your who. Have a great day, everybody.